Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Shabir Mari, well-known vaccinologist, joins us once again. Good morning. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the Sputnik V. Firstly, are you surprised?
I would say I am surprised, but at the same time, I do understand the reasoning behind Safra's decision. What has occurred in the past is an HIV vaccine that was evaluated, which uses the same vector, this virus known as adenovirus 5, to deliver the sort of component that we want the immune system to respond to. In that particular study, especially men that received the vaccine were more likely to end up getting infected with HIV than people in the placebo group or the control group. So when companies are using this adenovirus 5 as a vector for the vaccine, there is some level of requirement for them to demonstrate that you're not going to get the same sort of increased risk of acquiring HIV if you are vaccinated with that particular type of a vaccine. So it seems that Sputnik V, the company that produces it, hasn't done the studies to basically dispel those sort of concerns. And consequently, Safra is in a difficult position, especially in a country such as South Africa, where there is a high burden of HIV, to take a more cautious approach and not to authorize its use at this point in time.
Mm. Why would somebody that is HIV, why would somebody be more susceptible? Can you just explain, does it lower your immunity to HIV? How does this work?
So the exact mechanism hasn't really been fully mapped out. What we do know about adenovirus 5 is that a very high percentage of populations in low middle income countries, in African countries, have been previously exposed to that particular virus, adenovirus virus. And it appears what this vector might be doing is stimulating an immune system which somehow increases the susceptibility of people to be infected with the HIV virus when they are exposed to the HIV virus. So it's not to say that if someone has a sort of type of behavior that doesn't put them at risk of being infected with HIV, that they would become more likely to be infected by HIV. It's those individuals that do have underlying risk of a high risk of being infected with HIV, and especially males, where the concern would be the greatest. So the exact mechanism in terms of how the use of this particular vector increases the susceptibility to being infected with HIV, especially in high-risk individuals, is unknown.
And in terms of if it wasn't for the HIV part of it, what do we understand from the efficacy in terms of coronavirus?
So the Sputnik V vaccine, unfortunately, it has been limited in terms of the amount of data that has been available in the public domain. In a study that was published in The Lancet a few months ago, they did indicate high levels of protection against COVID-19, which are due to the ancestral virus. But subsequent to that, there's been very little additional information that's been published, and that is one of the concerns. Even if you look at WHO and its recommendations, this is not one of the vaccines that has gone through the WHO process for WHO to make a recommendation for its use. So it appears that we do require more information in public domain, which can be adequately interrogated to determine just how well the vaccine is working, particularly as an example against the Delta variant.
I see that the numbers in Russia itself are particularly high at the moment. Have they been using the Sputnik V?
So I'm not too sure whether they've been using the Sputnik V, but I would be surprised if they weren't using it because it is one of their major vaccines, and they obviously started to use it. In fact, before there was much evidence that it actually protected even against infection due to the ancestry virus.
Right. In terms of the vaccines that we're using here, is it even important for us to authorize, and I'm not saying the Sputnik because there's valid reasons why that hasn't been authorized, but we have got the J&J, we have got Pfizer. Do we actually need more than that?
That's a really good question. And the short answer to that is in the immediate future, we actually got adequate vaccine supply. Our biggest challenge right now is getting people to come forward to be vaccinated, and particularly people above the age of 50.
Right.
So right now, there isn't any pressing need for South Africa to get more brands of COVID-19 vaccines, because what we've already been able to secure in terms of supply is adequate to take us right through to the end of the year. But we just more of a fear of some of the doses of vaccines actually expiring because of people not really coming forward in large numbers.
But yet we still haven't authorized the booster shots for our medical workers. Does that make any sense to you?
Absolutely not. The medical workers should have been boosted even before the third wave. And this is something which has already indicated in April. And it's a pity that we're still delaying the boosting of medical workers that receive a single dose of the J&J vaccine. All evidence, in fact, indicates that the J&J vaccine followed by the Pfizer vaccine probably would work even better than two doses of the J&J vaccine. So it's really inexcusable that healthcare workers still remain suboptimally protected against COVID-19, particularly as we're heading into another resurgence probably around about December.
Right. In fact, I was quite, or were you surprised rather, let's ask you the question, that they authorized 12 to 17-year-olds before giving the boosters to healthcare workers?
Well, I'm surprised that they decided to use the vaccine in the 12 to 17-year-old period, especially just using a single dose of the vaccine. That is going to confer very little individual-level benefit and very little public health benefit to vaccinate that age group. Those vaccines certainly could have been better utilized, not just for healthcare workers, but also other high-risk groups, people above the age of 65, people with cancer, renal, transplants, et cetera. And those individuals actually do require a third dose of vaccine to optimize the protection against severe disease and death. So it is really misplaced to be using vaccines in the 12 to 17-year age group who are not at high risk of ending up in hospital. And certainly, when only using a single dose of vaccine, there's no evidence as to how well that single dose of vaccine would work in protecting against infection and mild COVID, which is what you're really trying to protect against. In that age group.
Yes. So I was going to ask that as a question. What are your thoughts on a single dose? Do you think that was a political or a financial decision rather than a medical one?
Well, it's not even a political or financial decision. I think it's a rush to try to use as much vaccine as possible while taking the eye off the target. And our target really needs to be 90% vaccination of people above the age of 50. And that will determine just how well we weather the next resurgence. It's not about what percentage of 12 to 17-year-olds that we can vaccinate with a single dose. It's about what percentage of people above the age of 50 particularly that we can vaccinate. It will determine the number, whether our healthcare facilities come under pressure or whether we have a large number of people dying of COVID-19 when there is another resurgence.
And are you still of the view, and it appears as though you are because you mentioned that in passing in conversation a little bit earlier, was that the fourth wave or the next surge rather should get to us or should impact us round about the December time?
Correct. But at the same time, I think I'm a bit more optimistic in that the next resurgence probably will be less severe than what we experienced in the past, and particularly in the last wave. And the reason for that is all indications are that a high percentage of South Africans are probably 75 to 80% possibly have been infected with the virus during the course of the first three waves. And that past infection, although it doesn't work too well in protecting against reinfection, especially when there's a new variant, does protect well against severe disease, hospitalization, and death. So inadvertently, a high percentage of the population have actually started to develop immunity against hospitalization and death, but we can do much better by getting 80% of people above the age of 50 vaccinated, and that would minimize the number of people that end up in hospital and that end up dying of COVID-19 when there is another resurgence.
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's one conversation after another where we're having the experts telling us, go and get vaccinated. Just get the vaccine. Make sure that you are protected. It's just, and in fact, I also see that, for example, the reporting around Colin Powell's death saying that he died from COVID-19, although he was fully vaccinated, is quite irresponsible because they're leaving out the part that he had multiple myeloma, which is known to reduce the efficacy of the vaccine. And those are the conversations we need to have, because otherwise this then becomes proof, in inverted commas, as to why vaccines are pointless.
Yeah, and it goes back to the earlier issue that I mentioned, and that it would be more prudent for us to be providing the third dose of vaccine to people above the age of 65 and people with those sorts of medical conditions, because they do require three doses of vaccine. The Powell, as an example, was actually scheduled to receive his third dose of vaccine, but was too ill to get his third dose of vaccine. So the third dose of vaccine is something that we need to start focusing on in South Africa for people above the age of 65, people with cancers, and other immunosuppressive underlying medical conditions.